very good morning to everyone. We thank God for COVID. Why? About 10 to 12% of our members attend the church prayer meeting. Before that, it was 7 to 9%. So thank God that God has sent COVID for a purpose, as we see it now. But where are the rest of the members of the church? Where are the 90% or 88%? We are not looking at numbers. But why are members not attending the church prayer meeting when it is for the benefits of their souls? Has the church leader failed to impress upon our members the importance and the needs to come to prayer meeting? Or are we self-sufficient and we do not need God? Now, some may have legitimate reasons for not coming to the church prayer meeting, such as parents who need to attend to their children, or students could prepare for their studies and homework. Or perhaps there are some among us who are infirm and you are not able to attend. But I would say that majority of them know the importance of prayer meeting, but do little to take it seriously. Somehow, it is not their priority to attend. Spurgeon once commented this: "We shall never see much change for the better in our churches in general till the prayer meeting occupy a higher place in the esteem of the Christians." I can't agree more than what Spurgeon has said. Now, we live in a postmodern world, which is the topic that we are going to have in our church camp, where our values and time are increasingly torn between the attractions of this world and our faith. And our commitment rests upon the foundation and our understanding of the value. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, as what God would say so. Hence, if there's no value, there'll be no commitment. If there's little value, there'll be little commitment to come at for church prayer meeting. And it is important for us as newborn Christians that our value must be governed by the Word of God. For what is a man's life consists of? It is not in the abundance of things which he possesses in this world. Rather, God wants us to be rich towards the things of God. Now, the topic assigned to me today is the value of prayer meeting. In the context of the scripture text that we have just read by Deacon Yen, Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 19, I would like to suggest three values, and they are: prayer affirms God's sovereignty. 2, prayer affirms our dependence upon God. And thirdly, prayer affirms God's love for us. Now, the first values of prayer meeting is prayer affirms God's sovereignty. Our constant touch with God through prayer will remind us that God is in control and He makes no mistakes in all that happens to our life. Prayer affirms that God is sovereign and encourages us to keep trusting Him even in the darkest hours of our life. In prayer meeting, we encourage each other with God's Word, and we share the blessings that God has bestowed on each one of us through the various experiences in our life. Now, Acts chapter 12 opens with King Herod killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And seeing that it pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter and put him into prison with the intention to kill Peter after Easter or Passover. Now, this may seem disappointing to the early church, but they are just part of God's plan. In Acts chapter 2, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the early church grew and experienced good harvest, good harvest in the sense that there were conversions of more than 3,000 Jews, right, when Peter ministers to them with the word of God. And we have the Ethiopian eunuch. And we have Saul being converted in Acts chapter 9. And we have Cornelius, the centurions, being converted as a Gentile in Acts chapter 10. And many Gentiles and Jews were also converted and won into the kingdom of God in Antioch in chapter 11. And in chapter 12, Satan, the old serpent, began to strike the church. But God is sovereign. And his plan was unfolding and fulfilling. Indeed, his plan is better than any other. And what is his plan? Or what was his plan? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promised his disciples, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses," or witnesses unto me, "both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And therefore, it was God's plan that the disciples shall be witnesses unto him, not only in Jerusalem, but unto the uttermost part of the earth. And God allowed persecutions to be the means to achieve this, so that the gospel may reach far and wide. So, this charge shows us how God's plans was unfolding and fulfilling his purpose. It started with Jerusalem. I'm not too sure you can see, but the square that has been, the box that has been highlighted in black, all right, at the bottom. It started with Jerusalem when Peter reached out to the Jews. And then Peter and Philip moved outward to the Gentiles in Judea and Samaria. And eventually, unto the uttermost part of the earth, by the work of the Holy Spirit, through Paul, as well as the early Christians that were persecuted. So God moves in a mysterious way, and all that happened fashioned according to his perfect will and time. I think the computer is not moving as fast. Okay. Now, just as God had allowed Satan to smite Jesus, our great shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad, even so, he hath allowed his under-shepherd to be persecuted. Now, Herod killed James to gain his popularity with the Jews who do not like Christians at the onset. Now, why James? Well, James is one of the principal leaders of the early church. And with increased popularity, when Herod killed James, he sought to improve his rating by arresting Peter and put him into prison. Now, under such situations, when the church, in the early church that I experienced, they and we may be foolishly led to think that evil men are in control and our God is out of control. Is it so? Herod was persecuting the church. James was executed. Peter was in prison. And the church is expecting more persecutions to come. Dearly beloved, are you facing similar situations in your life? You feel that everyone is against you, no matter how good you are. Or you may be faithfully serving the Lord, and you ask, why is God allowing a terminal illness to come to you? Or you may be working very hard at your work, And you ask, why am I the first one to be laid off? Well, you ask, God, how can it be? Where are you? Why do you allow this to happen? And this may well be your grievances in different measure. Now know that God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. And James' death was just a fulfillment of what the Lord had told him and John when both brothers came to Jesus to request that they be seated on the left hand and the right hand side of God. Jesus promised, are you sure? Can you drink the cup that I drank? Can you die the death that I died? So, knowing that God is in control and nothing happens without His permission, we can be certain and we can rest in that fact that God is in control, which means I can face things that are out of control and not act out of control. It sounds a bit mouthful. What it means is to say that we can rest peacefully in the hands of God if we believe that God has absolute control over every situation in our life. And that's important. The church will remain a constant target by the evil ones. Our Lord says, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. John chapter 15, verse 20. Now God allows his people to be persecuted to fulfill his purpose, that the church may rely on him and not on our own strength and wisdom. I recall 3 years ago when COVID hit the world, there were photos of different religions kneeling down and crying out to their God. Yes, we may be brought to such situations. And that's how God leads us. We may not think that such persecutions will ever happen again to the church. But it may not be so. 2 months ago, I received a prayer request about a church that was persecuted by the local authority. They were told to shut down their church, which was worshipped in a house church. And not only so, the person, the pastor, was summoned to the office and made to write a pledge that he will never worship or open his house for worship again. So this is real. And it just happened 2 months ago in one of our neighboring countries. So do not think that we will not go through persecutions, especially in Singapore. So under such adverse circumstances, what do we do? The early church show us an example. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer affirms our dependence on God. Our Christian experience, each one of us, has clearly confirms that we are weak, but God is strong. No matter how strong we are, there will be some point in our life that we will feel helpless or even clueless what to do. Only our God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. Therefore, we need His help. And prayer affirms our dependence on Him, for He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So despite persecution, the church continue to meet to pray. They pray more fervently and earnestly in intensity and continuity without ceasing. Yes, the church is free to pray when every gate, every other gate is shut and locked. Heaven's gate is always open to us. So do not cease to pray. Look to God. Don't look to men. Men will fail us, but our God will not fail us. So all was brought to pass because God intended it to be so. He cannot fail them that utter their dependence on Him. So God wills that earnest prayer is effective, powerful, and rewarding. And just like the unjust judge, He will surely avenge His own elect, who cry day and night unto Him. Luke chapter 18, verse 7. Indeed, helpless men who could only pray are stronger than Herod and his quaternions, iron gates, and iron chains. There are no barriers at all to God. We ask the question, did the church pray for James, who was killed? Surely they did. Did they pray for Peter? Yes, they did. Now, why is it that one prayer was answered and the other was not answered? It seems as though it was a case. No. God answered both prayers, but it is according to God's sovereign will and divine purpose. We already say and explain why God allowed James to be killed. So, we as creatures do not question our Creator. God is the author. We are the prey. So hence our prayer should be, Lord, mold me, shape me, until I think like You, Lord. So faith and obedience require us to submit humbly to our all-righteous God, who work His perfect plan in and through us in His perfect time. Brethren, who do you turn to when you are in trouble? When you are in a state of helplessness? God is pleased to succor all who turn to Him for help. He is a high priest that has gone through life with us on this earth, and He knew every experiences that we had. So like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Only let us come before Him and to find peace and deliverance from Him. Now despite extra security measures put on Peter, the Roman soldiers and the prison gates were no barrier to God's deliverance. God has His own sovereign modes of action. Unlike men, He is not tied to any manner and time, and He do whatever He please. So the angel came. The chain fell off, the door was opened automatically, and Peter was miraculously led to freedom. Now, Herod might have his plan to promote his own political agenda at Peter's expense, but God intervened as He would not allow any to thwart His unfinished plan for Peter. Yes, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Now this is a quote by Corrie ten Boom, who helped many Jews to escape from the Nazi during the World War II Holocaust. And how amazing and awesome our God is. Do we have the faith that sees the invisible and believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible. The third and last value is prayer affirms God's love for his people. Now, after Peter was let out of prison, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Overwhelmed with joy, instead of opening the door to let Peter in, the damsel by the name of Rhoda hurried to tell the disciples that Peter stood before the gate. The rest say that she was mad, although she constantly affirmed that it was so. And Peter continued knocking, and when they have opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. Yes, prayer connects us and assures us of God's unconditional love. It affirms that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, despite our doubts and failures. God's love is independent of our merits. It is not how good you are, or how righteous you are, or how much faith you have. It is God's faithfulness in answering us, in helping us. So it is God's command that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we can be certain that he will not let his people pray in vain. So sometimes, what we most earnestly wish for or pray for, we have no expectations of God's answer. In other words, we pray, yet we are unsure whether God will really answer me. This reminds us of the closed door experience of Thomas when the disciples told him about the resurrected Lord who have appeared before him, before them in John chapter 20 verses 19 to 31. Jesus told Thomas, "Be not faithless, but believing. Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Years later, Peter echoed the same words, similar words, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. "Whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So, we need to exercise faith in God, in prayer, and do not confine God to our thinking. He's without boundary. In contrast, we have this damsel, Rhoda, a non-Jewish female slave, who was greatly influenced by her godly mistress, Mary, the mother of John Mark, or the sisters of Barnabas. Now, she was gloriously saved by God's love through the sincere witness of her mistress' Christian testimony, both in words and in deeds. This gives much encouragement to us that our Christian testimony can be effective if we are living close to God, and how much it can influence and bring somebody to Christ. And here, Rhoda was remembered for her constant and steadfast faith, though the rest of the disciples disbelieve her. Salvation is of God, and there is no boundary to his love to whosoever that believe. Regardless of whether you are Jew or a Gentile, regardless whether you are rich or poor, regardless whether you are master or you are a servant, you are the highest in the corporate ladder or you are the lowest in the rank. Rhoda was a nobody, as it may seem, but it pleased the Lord to save her and to honor her simple faith, recorded here in his sacred word, as an example for us to trust him. Now you may be faithfully coming to prayer meeting, and nobody notice you. You are not called to pray. You are one of those 110 or 120, but you faithfully come to pray week after week. God notice you. And God will honor you, your faithfulness to pray for fellow brethren in the Lord. So as the Lord says, He will honor those who honor Him. So do we honor God by coming to prayer meeting? Now Peter's escape caused a great stir in the jail, must be, because no one knows exactly how it happened. Herod, of course, was furious, and therefore he ordered the executions of the soldiers for failing their duties. But he too was smitten by God in later part of the chapter in verse 23, because he took the glory that belongeth to God. Now, despite the opportunity to hear the truth and witness the miraculous work of the apostles, Herod and these soldiers refused to see the hand of God and believe in Him. Ezekiel told us, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. In other words, God is pleading with the wicked to turn from your sin and come and believe in Him. Yes, God is able to save to the uttermost those that come to Him. In the earlier chapters of Acts, we have seen Cornelius, the Roman centurion, and the Philippian jailer, as well as their household, believe in God because they exercise their faith in what they have seen, in what they have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves us, and especially if you have not known the Lord, today this is His call to you. Would you come and believe in Him? So I would like to suggest 3 A's for those of you who have not known the Lord for your considerations. The first one is aware and a meet and action. The Bible tells us that all, no exceptions, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our sins have separated us from God. Jesus, whom God sent to die on the cross for our sin, is the only mediator between God and man. So be aware of your sinful situation, your sinful condition. You have sinned against the righteous God, and the penalty is death. Death not in terms of just physical death, death in terms of eternal separations from God and in hell. We are guilty before God, and there is none righteous. No, not one. You may think that I have not done evil things, but since the day of birth, you already sinned against God. Nobody needs to teach a child how to be rebellious, but the child will be rebellious because of the sinful state that he is in. So admit or acknowledge humbly that there is no way you can save yourself. Our righteousness is like filthy rags before God's holy eyes. But Jesus is righteous, and He took the place for us. He paid all the price. He paid for all our sins, and He says it is finished. So that if we believe in Him, we can be acquitted. So the Word of God tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by Him. He is the only way. And he has done his part by dying on the cross to atone for your sin. He awaits now us who have not believed to action, to put your trust in God. As the jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" He was told, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and your household." Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we sinners should be called the sons of God. Yes, God loves us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. We deserve condemnation, but God offers salvation. Would you then reject such a gracious offer to live, and you choose to die instead? Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And Jesus promised that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, he will accept you as who you are. He desires to save you. He desires to deliver you from this sin-infected world and to give you eternal life. Won't you want to be delivered from your bondage of sin that you are struggling with? There are many questions that is unanswered in this world. And to trust yourself to God, to enjoy peace, both in Him and with Him. There is no hope in this world. For every man at his best state is altogether vanity or worthless. And we are told that we brought nothing into this world. We came into this world naked. We will exit this world with nothing. So, your soul is precious. Precious in the sight of God. Do not waste your life. Come and believe in Him today. So, in conclusions, to the brethren in the Lord, are you treating prayer meeting as an investment portfolio? No value, no commitment. Little value, little commitment. Why are we holding such a low view of prayer meeting? The real problem for demeaning the value of prayer meeting is our heart, our relationship with God. Sin destroys peace of our mind. Sin disrupts our fellowship with Christ. Sin hinders our prayer and brings darkness over our soul. It obscures the true value that we should have in God. So I urge you to reflect on your walk with God, and may you covet to have a close communion with Christ. Yes, the more we understand God's sovereignty, the more our prayer will be filled with thanksgiving. And we will delight to be in the presence, in His presence, with the rest of the brethren. Prayer meeting will therefore become a center's importance in your life, church life in particular. Today, if we were to stand before God and He asks, "My child, why are you not praying to me with your brethren in the church?" What will your answer be? Will you be giving excuses after excuses or so-called reasons? Commitment is your belief of the value that you embrace. How much you value prayer meeting? How much do you value to be in the presence of God together with a fellow brethren in the Lord? It is one thing to promise that I will come, I will do this, I will do that, and quite another to perform. So if you love God and are committed. You will find all the reasons to attend prayer meeting regularly, isn't it? But if you are not committed, you will give all kinds of excuses not to be present, not to attend, because this is low value, this is little value, don't require your attention. So may God help us that we will treasure the value that I've just spoken, that prayer affirms God's sovereignty, prayer affirms our dependence on Him, unless you don't require Him, and prayer affirms God's love for us. May we know that it is good for us. It is beneficial for our spiritual soul that we will come to pray. Yes, the value of persistent prayer is not that He hears us, but that we finally hear Him. God is patient with us. He is speaking to us. Are we hearing? If we are hearing, are we doers? Don't be just a hearer, be a doer of the Word of God. Finally, let me quote what Pastor Charles shared in his sermon on 30th of May, 2023. The Church of Christ can only accomplish its work with prayer. And the early church grew through prayer. Therefore, make prayer your priority and be fully committed to pray. Yes, God's work must be done in God's way, not man's way. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and your grace towards us. Father, we have heard your word. We pray that you will help us to hide your word in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. And have mercy upon thy people, Lord, that we may come and we will desire to be with you, to commune with you as a church. And in our midst, some who may have not known you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that, Lord, your word will speak to them, and may your Holy Spirit be gracious to open their eyes that they may come and believe in you. We pray this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.